Fireworks are always fun and festive, but given the environmental concerns, some worry, are they really worth it? Especially when alternatives can be even cooler. We'll talk all about the impacts to water quality, air quality, wildlife, and more on today's episode.
Welcome to Naturally Florida, a podcast about Florida's natural areas and the wild things that live here. I'm Lara Milligan.
And I'm Shannon Carnevale.
This podcast is brought to you by UF IFAS Extension in Polk and Pinellas counties.
Over the last several years, Lara and I have both had a whole cadre of amazing interns. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
They've done some amazing work for us. And one of our interns, Katie, actually helped us get the podcast launched. So thanks, Katie.
Whoop, whoop.
And Lara has a wonderful intern named Tess, who did some research for an episode all about fireworks and how they impact our environment. So that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yes, I was so excited when she came up with this topic because it's something I honestly don't think Shannon and I would have ever come up with. And that's one of the reasons that I love having interns and their innovative thoughts. So I'm actually very excited to share some of the findings with you guys. So I don't know, where do we even begin, Shannon?
I don't know. I think maybe a good place to start is we should define what we're talking about when we say the word firework, because I think it can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So in a lot of the different research papers that are referenced for this episode, the definition of a firework might change. So as you're listening, we want you to think of anything that could be construed as a firework. It might be the little mortars that, you know, your neighbor launches up into the air. It could be the sparklers that your little cousins are running around the streets with. Or it could be the really large professional pyrotechnic displays put on by your city or a local theme park.
Yes. So all those things Shannon mentioned are what we're going to be talking about today. And as Shannon also alluded to at the beginning, we're going to be talking about the impacts of these fireworks. And specifically, we're going to be looking at air quality, water quality, and then impacts to wildlife, which we might not often think about really any of those things. So we're going to touch on them briefly in today's episode. So you want to just jump into air quality?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. When we have fireworks or we go to a show, I think everyone who's seen fireworks in person will be able to be like, there's the pretty bit that is the firework, and then there's the cloud of explosion that's left over.
Yeah, and there's different ways that's residue that's left over can be defined. We're not going to get technical today. Particulate matter is kind of a general term that we can use, but those particles can actually be inhaled. And so certain people are super sensitive to that particulate matter in the air, especially like immediately following, or really if you're downwind from the fireworks, it can inflame and cause irritation to the lungs, even go into the bloodstream and kind of create an inflammatory response. So just don't be downwind of the fireworks, really.
Right. So if you're at a fireworks display or if you're setting them off in your backyard safely, make sure that you're not standing in that cloud that comes from your fireworks, because that's where all those particulate matters that Lara was talking about are. And this makes a lot of sense. If we think about why smoking isn't recommended, when we think about all the research that's come out of, you know, what are the health effects of cigarette smoking or cigar smoking and things like that, or standing in an area with a lot of wildfires. When you have things that combust, there are particulates that hang around in the air, and that's what causes that cloud of smoke, and we don't want to be breathing that in. So analysis of EPA air samples from dozens of sites across the country over the last 14 or so years have showed that toxic metals are more prevalent in those air quality samples right around the time of 4th of July celebrations and New Year's Eve celebrations. These samples with really high levels of these toxic metals across time are more likely to occur during 4th of July celebrations and New Year celebrations. So it's just going on to show that there are a lot of things in that smoke. You know, we get those pretty colors by adding certain chemicals to the firework so that they will burn. And that burning is why we see color. So it makes sense that we don't want to be breathing in that smoke because it harms air quality. Now, something that I think the research is still out on, and Lara, feel free to jump in at any point, But depending on the weather of the area and how likely it is to rain and how strong the wind is and what the mixing height is, which is a term we use in prescribed fire a lot, the length of time at which these heavy metals and other particulate matter are in the air can really vary. So if it rains right after a fireworks show, maybe the air is a little bit cleaner sooner. But if it doesn't rain, or if you're in an area with a lot of firework displays, that air quality may be degraded for several days or even weeks.
Yeah, it definitely varies. And we see similar data when we are talking about water quality as well, which we're actually going to talk about next. And kind of actually a good transition I was going to talk about as it relates to these toxic metals, heavy metals that are being released as a result of fireworks. There was one study looking at marsh frogs and the impacts of high levels of heavy metals. And basically the study showed that these frogs were more anemic and demonstrated weaker immunity as a result of being exposed. So there's definitely, obviously there's human impacts. We alluded to those kind of like immediate, but also we have to be thinking about, we are Naturally Florida podcast after all, about our natural world as well. And since frogs, if you listen to our last episode, kind of represent both land and water, we're going to transition now to looking at water quality and the impacts as it relates to fireworks. So most of the research that we found talks a lot about a component, a compound called perchlorate. Maybe you've heard of this if you're into like water quality data and stuff like that, but it's actually kind of an emerging contaminant that the EPA is really looking at. I nerded out a little bit, Shannon, so feel free to stop me if I nerd too much, but there was a lot of concerns with perchlorate as it relates to our drinking water. And so the latest update says that EPA is not regulating this as it relates to drinking water yet, but they did say that they are currently funding a study to specifically look at this. And perchlorate is a direct result of explosives, whether it's kind of on, Shannon, help me, like military.
Yeah, it's used in fuel. So it can be used in rocket propellants, and that's why we see it a lot in fireworks.
So yeah, and it's also a component of fireworks. So there's more to come about that, but it's a major concern because it's a very potent thyroid disruptor, which if you know anything about the thyroid, it's like a critical regulator of hormones in the body, which, you know, obviously affects lots of other components and functions of your body. So it's definitely something to kind of keep our eyes and ears out for. But that's, again, one of the main things that we see as it relates to water quality and fireworks.
Yeah. So just to break that down a little bit more, the way that the perchlorates affect the thyroid is it reduces its ability to absorb iodine, which then leads to hormone imbalances. And this is really concerning among pregnant women and infants, as that's really important for growth and development. And because this is also winding up in our natural areas and affecting our wildlife, there's a lot more research that needs to go into what the remnants of firework explosions are and how they affect our wildlife. Like Lara mentioned, we know that these things affect some of our frog species, which in our last episode, we discussed as being kind of an indicator species for pollution in our environment. But that's not the only way that fireworks and other explosions may be affecting our wildlife.
Yeah. So we're going to dive more into that now. And I think when it comes to fireworks, probably the number one thing people think about is they're loud. And if anyone has a dog, like I know several of my friends have dogs and they just dread the holidays where fireworks happen because dogs can hear a lot better than humans. And that's why a lot of them are much more sensitive to fireworks than we are. And I say that, you're probably like, okay, but we don't have dogs in nature. I say that because obviously if they're impacting our domestic animals, there's very likely similar impacts to our wild species as well. So a lot of the research focuses on birds. And so that's a lot of the studies that we're going to talk to you about. But there's a lot of distress that can be caused from the very loud noise from fireworks that could lead to birds abandoning their nests. Even there was one study specifically looking at red-winged blackbirds, which I love, that they showed a significant die-off of the birds. The reasoning really unknown, possibly from collision or just general disoriented flight, but they were literally like falling from the air following a fireworks display. And so it resulted literally in death of thousands of these birds. Also, young can fall out of their nest. The list goes on, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of them, but yeah, the impacts are real, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I had not heard about that study with the red-winged blackbirds. That's awful.
Yeah. And they used, and I don't, several of the studies I looked at used like weather, what do you call that? Radar? No. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yep. Stay with me, folks. To kind of just watch the response of the birds from the fireworks. So they even, there was another study that looked at how high they disperse. And basically one of the studies was showing that the height at which they flew was the same height that they fly when they go to migrate, which is, just for the record, like not normal. And so the study was really alluding to the possible energetic costs, like the energy costs of it, and as well as obviously like it being really stressful for them. And they were flying for long periods of time, like basically until the fireworks show is over. They're like in this state of distress.
Panic?
Yeah, that.
Wow. That's really, that's kind of sad. You know, we've talked specifically about birds, but there are a lot of other wildlife impacts caused by fireworks. Unfortunately, there's just not a lot of research about it at this point. But we know when we see fireworks that it's for a celebration. It's a good thing. It's not scary. But a lot of our wildlife don't know that. So according to U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the abrupt lights and sounds can be seen as a threat to a lot of different animals, including birds, but also other species as well. You might see them fleeing to different areas to try and get away from the perceived threat that might put them in roadways that they're not normally used to. They could be around buildings or other people, just, you know, basically running away from the thing that they think is a threat. And as of right now, we don't have a ton of research about what they're running to or from, or how long those impacts really affect them. But it's something to keep an eye out for next time you're, you know, say going for a hike after New Year's Eve.
Yeah. And despite there being limited research, we did find one study that was specific to fireworks that actually showed, as a result of COVID, there were impacts to what normal festivals and fireworks would happen. And there were some ongoing studies with house sparrows. And basically what the study showed is that in the absence of these festivals, because they were canceled from COVID, it resulted in greater breeding success of the sparrows, which highlights right there, like there's clearly some impacts to these fireworks as it relates to, I mean, this is one particular example, but breeding success. So we will link that study in the show notes if you want to nerd out a little bit more. And there's more and more. There's several, like I said, studies looking specifically at birds, but I think you guys get the point that there are some negative impacts to our bird species of all kinds as it relates to fireworks. So let's talk about some alternatives to fireworks, which right. You might be like, yeah, if you're going to tell me not to watch fireworks, Lara, like I'm just going to stop listening now. And I'm going to tell you that Shannon said that these things that I have yet to see called drone displays are amazing. I have yet to see one, but Shannon has firsthand experience to say they are amazing.
Yes, I think the drone shows are such a great idea, and they can be really impactful and set to music and a lot of fun. There are all kinds of alternatives to the traditional fireworks displays that we're all used to and the fireworks we set off in our backyard. But there have been a recent influx of drone, for lack of a better term, drone fireworks shows at theme parks near me. And so I got to see one of those with my family a couple years back for Christmas. And while it was short, it was only like 5 or 6 minutes long, it blew my mind. Like my entire family was standing there and we could not believe what we were watching as these little drones in the sky made a rotating Christmas tree. And then all of a sudden they transformed into a dove. And then they were a present. And I think Santa Claus showed up at one point. It was really exciting and three-dimensional. And the little kids all around us weren't scared of the loud booms from the fireworks. It was just, it seemed like such an elegant solution that was really technology forward and exciting.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know a local city by me offered it last year, and I was like, I just don't see how that could even compare to fireworks, but you've inspired me. So I think I'm going to check it out.
Go check it out. Let us know how it goes.
So there are many other alternatives, as Shannon mentioned, something called quiet fireworks, which really just means like think sparklers, fountains. You can still have fun with the fireworks without all the loud noises, basically. Mm-hmm. Then if you have kids, you can do something fun and you don't have to worry about them burning their finger or inhaling particulate matter or any of that. And you can punch holes out of leaves and make your own eco-friendly confetti and throw it up in the air and celebrate that way. There's LED glow sticks and bands that you could purchase to kind of get the same effects. You get where I'm going. There's many other alternatives out there.
And as much as I love eco-friendly leaf confetti and bubbles and LEDs and string lights and all the fun things Lara just mentioned, if viewing fireworks is a really strong part of your holiday traditions, we understand. And there are a lot of things you can do to make it a safer experience than perhaps what you've done in the past. If you really want to see fireworks, what we would suggest based on the evidence that we have reviewed for this episode, we would say go to your local city's fireworks show. Watch the big community fireworks show rather than doing them in your yard or on your driveway or off your dock, which is very common in my area of the state. Because according to the American Pyrotechnics Association, the amount of fireworks used at home vastly outweigh the amount of fireworks used in municipal or professional fireworks shows, to the point of 10 times as many fireworks. In 2016, for example, 285 million pounds of fireworks were detonated, but only 25 million pounds were by municipal displays. All of the rest were done at home. So cumulatively, our backyard firework displays are likely having a much bigger impact on wildlife, on the ecosystem, and on our personal human health than the professional displays are. So the safest way to enjoy fireworks is to go to your local city's New Year's Eve fireworks party, your city's local 4th of July fireworks, and enjoy them there at a safe distance.
Yeah, and not only are they safe, but there's studies that also show how much pollution reduction there is too if you were not setting off your own fireworks as well.
Yes.
Cumulatively, obviously. So I think that's a great way to end today's episode as well. And we hope we didn't burst anyone's bubbles too much. You could still go enjoy your fireworks. And yeah, we look forward to catching you all on our next episode.
Thanks for listening to Naturally Florida, a podcast about Florida's natural areas and the wild things that live here. Stay updated on new episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. If you enjoyed today's episode, consider sharing it with a friend. Naturally Florida is produced by your hosts, Shannon Carnevale
and Lara Milligan.
If you have questions or suggestions, submit them online at naturallyfloridapodcast.com. This podcast is brought to you by the University of Florida's Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences Extension, an equal opportunity institution. Thank you for listening.